episode number 9. This is the podcast where we bring you conversation and perspective on all things culture, all things Little Rock, all things Central Arkansas. I'm your host, Antoine Phillips. You can find me on Twitter, _ Antoine Phillips. And I'm with my co-host, Too Woke Blake.
Three terms in the building. It's your favorite representative. Always repping, Charles J. Blake. You can find me on Twitter at Charles J. Blake.
Yeah, this weekend we were texting about that.
And the J is for Jamal.
And the J is for Jamal about that new Beyonce Jay-Z project, which we'll talk about on another podcast very soon. But I was trying to talk to two-take-three-term Blake about the album, and he was just so serious. Yes. About the culture and the community. I said, bro, you too woke, Blake.
I would love to talk about the album, but it's some things we need to deep dive into. And the Carters, I saw the album came out. I haven't been able to listen to all of it yet because I've been too woke. But I'm looking forward to listening to it.
Well, if you want your, I mean, that's one thing you want. I give you credit for that. If you live in District 36, you want a representative. That's too woke.
Too woke.
That's why I can't hate on you for that. We're going to get into our rundown today. We're going to talk a lot about some things going on school-wide. Even though it's summertime, a lot of things happening with the school system here in Central Arkansas. Talk about charter schools today. Some, you know, controversial things going on at Pulaski County Special School District that's on the agenda today. And we also want to give a shout-out to the culture again about big things happening at Dunbar Community Center over the summer. But before we get into that, I always got to give our shout-outs. First shout-out always goes to Arkansas Time for giving us a platform to I don't got my beats with me today.
Thank the Connect, though.
You got a big ups to the Connect. What,
your wife took her beats back?
She did, bro. Real talk. Get y'all inside. So she took her beats back because I wore them to the gym, and she revoked my privileges.
You sweated in them.
Yeah. She said, those are not workout headphones.
You got ear sweat on my beats, bro.
I didn't know certain headphones were reserved for working out and sitting in the studio. I mean, I guess I ain't that fancy. But anyway, thanks to Arkansas Times. Always a big shout out to our guy Q Note on IG and Keys to the City TV Films for helping us produce the pod and provide you good sounding content. But even bigger ups today, because they just released, him and his guy, Philly Moo.
Big week for them too, man.
Big week for them, released their new album. That 90s-ish.
Yeah, 90s, what is it, 90s type-ish? Philly Moo?
Philly Moo. This is the trap jazz. This is the genre that I'm giving all credit to my guy Q-Note for inventing and bringing to our culture, which is the combination of trap beats and jazz instrumentation, such as the saxophone that Philly Moo plays on. You can find 90s type-ish anywhere.
Anywhere. Tidal. Apple, Google,
Spotify.
They're out there, man. Philly Moo, 90s type-ish.
Go get that. Go listen to it. Go stream it. Download it. I was listening to it all weekend.
Rep the Rock.
Man, Rep the Rock. They got a song, Little Rock Forever.
Little Rock Forever.
You got to appreciate that. But my favorite track, though, is Doggy Bone. There's something about the Doggy Bone track that kind of got a little vibe, and I'm riding through the city this weekend.
It's
like,
nostalgic, right?
Takes it is. Yeah. If you feel grown,
yep.
If you ever want to feel grown when you listen to the music,
yeah.
Get that 90s type ish.
You're right.
And
you're
feel
right.
Grown. That, you know, we always got Jay-Z verse, but, you know, he said, you know, I can't wear jerseys. I'm 30 plus. Give me a fresh pair of jeans and a button up.
That's what he said.
And that's how you feel when you listen to this 90s type ish. You just feel grown. It's great music. Go get it. Go listen to it. Go stream it. Share it. Post. Let people know.
And if you still
spread the word.
And if you're still wearing jerseys and you're 30 plus, stop it.
Ooh, well, some people bringing it back now. I think it's been a reverse in the culture.
Stop it.
He just mad because he don't got no jerseys, y'all.
I sure want a Kobe jersey. I was
You want that Charles Barkley jersey?
A Barkley, Sir Chuck. I would love it. Phoenix too. With the original Barkleys, with the orange and the purple soles. I had those.
You had those?
Yeah.
Charles Barkley was your favorite?
He laughing because, you know, at Thrasher and at College Station, that's what they call me. They call me Barkley out here.
Why, so. You the round mound, the rebound.
Round mound. I break a leg or his collarbone every now and then.
And just like Charles Barkley, y'all, he in here eating donuts right now. And I'm not lying.
You ain't got to tell him everything, Twan.
Just oh, like Chuck. All on them Krispy Kreme.
I'm hungry, man.
Anyway, we're going to get to the news. But definitely go download that music. And the music you hear today on this pod, the lead-in and the intro and the outro for the pod today is samples from that 90s type-ish. So if you enjoy that, definitely go listen to the album. First thing on the agenda, three-term blank. Let's get into what's going on with the Pulaski County Special School District.
So last couple of weeks have been busy at Pulaski County School District. If you've seen in the Dem Guys in Arkansas Times, they had an article about the board voted down new science textbooks, but voted for new Chromebooks, which I would think. Now, the science textbooks are over 10 years old.
10 years old. So we're talking, it's 2018. You got science textbook from 08.
And in 08, you know, we had 9 planets and 4 oceans. Now we got 8 planets and 5 oceans. I mean, come on, man. That's real. You know that.
That is real. And in the article, it talks about how not only are the textbooks out of date, but they out of date with the state standards for teaching science.
Yeah. And they're saying, and they're docking the Pulaski County School Districts for having such old and out of date science textbooks. But the board voted, I think the vote was it 6-2?
6-2.
6-2 against the books, and they were going to phase them in. They're going to start with, was it high school?
Right.
And then every couple years, get new books for middle school, new books for elementary, and just phase it in over a term. I want to say that there was a board member from Mommel that chose to speak out against it and say that if you got new textbooks, you were going to put the district in debt. And I thought that was incredibly... what's the word I'm looking for?
It was $42 million.
So $42 million.
No, 4-2 was the vote. I'm
4-2. Okay, not 6-2, 4-2.
Yeah.
But I think that we're doing a disservice to our students if we're not getting them up to date textbooks. That you're looking for. You're giving parents another reason to leave your district if you don't have up to date science textbooks. How often do we hear in our society now that we're about STEM? And STEM, the first S in STEM.
The first S, because it's more than one S?
Sometimes there is.
STEMs.
But the S in STEM is for science.
Yes.
And if we're not up to date on our science, you know, we're now every school district is graded on, of course, English, math,
right,
and science. So we're not putting our students in the best position to be successful if we're not making sure they have up-to-date science textbooks.
Right, and the other thing that was interesting in the article, because one of the board members talked about this, is that one of the reasons why they voted down the initiative to get more textbooks is because they need more money to pay off the debt for the new school
building. New schools, yeah.
So that brings
a new high school in Jolte, a new high school at Mills, a new middle school at Sylvan Hills,
right,
and the new high school in Mommel. So we're talking about putting more emphasis and more focus on facilities than we are the actual textbooks and learning. And I think we're looking at that backwards.
Right, and I agree with that, and I thought that was a very, and it was kind of at the end of the article, but an important point where it seems like you say they're valuing the appearance,
mm-hmm,
of the school as opposed to the substance, which is teaching. I mean, that's what
and learning,
school,
teaching and learning, yeah.
And I know that there are some folks of the mindset that, hey, you know, I want my kids to be in a nice, safe
new school
building.
Yeah.
But at the expense,
a new school with no books.
New school, old books?
No, new school, old books? Yeah, that's where we are. And another interesting point that was kind of glossed over at this meeting was there was a letter of apology read by one of the board members, Mike Kemp. There had been a questionable remarks that he, racial slurs that he made to some of the claim that he had made to some of the students. Some of the black students.
And Mike Kemp not only is on the board, but also is the mayor
of Shannon Hills.
Correct.
Yes, who just got arrested for burglary. he broke into one of his tenants' homes and stole her TVs and some other things because he said she wasn't paying rent on time. So he was recently arrested.
That's not really how the landlord-tenant relationship is supposed to work.
I don't think that's landlord-tenant rights.
That's not how that goes.
Oh, you ain't paying rent? Okay, I'll take your flat screen. I don't think it works like that. But this is the same. We got the mayor of Shannon Hills, who's arrested for burglary, who's on the board of Placer County School District, who was just accused of calling some black students the little N-word.
Right.
Who is also voting against textbooks. You know, if there was another story that I saw recently in Hot Springs a few days ago where they just
the city manager
for saying you don't live here,
right,
to one of the board members and he was basically forced to resign. And here we have someone on the school board where the majority of students in the school district are African American who is accused of using racial slurs. So if you didn't know about it now you do. And that's something that we should pay close attention to. Not only the words of the school board members, but their actions in voting against textbooks as well.
And you know, there are Jay-Z quotes for everything, like I always
say.
What'd
he say, Twan?
And this is on my favorite song of all time, "So Ambitious." And he says, "I'm not sure that's how adults are supposed to speak to kids." I looked at my teacher and then he used a word that we can't use because it's family friendly podcast.
Yes, it is.
But the whole object is that we do expect a certain level of decorum,
integrity
yeah, from people who are associated with educating our children, not only teachers, administrators, but also people on our school board. So if you're a kid or if you live in the in parts of town that comprises the Placer County Special School District, make your voice known.
Be aware.
Contact your folks.
Senator Linda Chesterfield has been adamant about the Placer County School District. She was at the board meeting.
Right.
She reached out. We texted briefly about what was going on, and it's some things in the Placer County that we'll get into later on this summer that's happening that may be the destruction of and the planned destruction of Placer County School District that we should be talking about.
Well, and we're going to talk about destruction, and I'm going to say this and then leave it here and move to our next topic. But that's one of the things that they talked about, the reason why they couldn't vote to get the school these new science textbooks, because they didn't want to go into fiscal distress by purchasing new textbooks.
But they can purchase Chromebooks.
Well, they did purchase,
yeah,
Chromebooks.
They did. 40 mil, right?
And they got new buildings.
Yeah.
New
buildings.
New school, old books.
New
that computers. That may be the title.
New school, old books.
New school, old books.
I like that.
Moving on to another, you know, people talk about the schools and the planned, the intentional efforts to delegitimize the Little Rock School District. We talk about charter schools within our community.
Uh-huh.
And recently, there was a charter school building, the old Garland building, that was, because of the law that was passed a year ago, once it's vacant or not used for a year, you got to sell it.
And that's right off Roosevelt, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to sell it. So this building was initially sold to a charter school. They decided, hey, we can't use it. They were going to open up their school.
Was that the Einstein School?
Einstein School. They were going to open up 2018, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons we can't get into right now, they decided they pulled out of the deal. So then another charter school, Friendship Charter School, which was supposed to open 2019, 2020.
Friendship Aspire.
Right? And Friendship, yeah, Aspire was going to open 2019, 2020. They decided, well, why wait a year? We just get their building,
mm-hmm,
since they're out, and let us just jump in line, you know, fast forward our plan for a year and add another charter school into the mix, into the Little Rock School District footprint. And I'll start it because you told me last week that people want to know the one take thoughts.
Yeah, one take thoughts. Hashtag one take thoughts.
Hashtag one take thoughts. One thing that came to my mind immediately is that we still, for some reason, we do not want to learn the impact that these charter schools are having on Little Rock School District.
Yeah.
Why are we, and when you talk about it being an intentional effort to delegitimize the Little Rock School District, you being a greater you, not you as in Representative Blake,
mm-hmm,
and you continue to allow charter schools to be added to the footprint with having no regard to how it affects not the other district. Let's forget the district. The other kids.
The mass population of kids.
Right. The, yeah, other kids.
35,000 kids that are in Little Rock.
Right. And how the Little Rock School District budget is going to change, mm-hmm, because as they mentioned in this article, in the Dem Gazette article, Friendship Aspire Academy has an aggressive recruitment plan. So that means they're going to
I've heard their ads on the radio already.
Right. They're going to go get people who are going to Little Rock School District and tell them, hey, our school's better for whatever reason, and we need you out of our school. And when those kids leave the Little Rock School District, that has a significant effect on the budget. And now you're talking about, can we get new books?
And jobs. Remember, we just went over there a couple weeks ago.
Right.
How they lost 80 jobs this year. And I think Superintendent Poor, who we've talked to recently, he says he would love to be on the show. We're going to invite him on.
Right.
But he mentioned, I think in the article, in the DemGas, he mentioned that they already have a budget plan set in concrete going into next to 2018-2019 school year. And not knowing how this affects the population, the per pupil funding for the district, that could determine how many more jobs being lost in the school district.
Right.
The question I have about the Friendship Aspire is, where were they supposed to be at? Because you said they're trying to move into the Garland building, right, which is off Roosevelt.
Right. They were supposed to be in for a little background for some of our listeners, a charter school is a public school. It's not a traditional public school. The whole name is that they have a specific charter, that they have a specific goal, excuse me, in mind.
That's why we need textbooks, right?
Okay, you're going to do that?
I'm sorry.
No, I come at you all the time. You good. So we have very clear reasons for the charter school to exist.
Thesaurus, another textbook.
Yeah. I know my synonyms. but one part of their charter is that they wanted to touch people in Southwest Little Rock.
Garland's not in South.
That's not Southwest.
No, not
and that was mentioned in this article that came up from one of the State Board of Education commissioners. If you had a specific purpose to touch a specific group of kids,
you said it twice.
No,
I'm with you there.
I learned fast, bro.
I got you. Yeah. Back to back.
if that's your purpose, then why are you fast forward in the year? What's the rush? Now, in fairness, the guy who's over Friendship has a great counter argument. I mean, it sounds good, because I mean, a lot of people can say stuff to sound good.
What is he saying?
Waiting another year to open the school is saying that there's no sense of urgency about educating children. Now, that sounds good. That sounded like, oh, man, I'm so serious about these kids. We got to do it right now. But you got to plan, bro. Yeah. Like, there has to be an understanding of the impact that—
And there's a reason you have to plan. Didn't we just close Rock Bridge Montessori Charter School?
Right.
And I remember when we had another charter school, UCPC. Urban Collegiate Prep,
right?
That was open in August and closed in December. So if you go in with urgency and no preparation, then aren't you doing the kids a disservice?
Right, right. And you just you can't just be all. And I'm trying to use. I was trying to be smart, but you can't go in all willy nilly for the sake of urgency without understanding the impact of what moves you make.
And that's what we've been asking.
That's life.
And you're absolutely correct. And that's what we've been asking the State Board of Education to do for 2 years now. We have been at those state boards and saying the urgency is there, but we need a plan.
Right.
We need preparation. We need to get together to see how this affects the mass population of students, 35,000 kids in Little Rock School District, the 22,000 kids in Pulaski County School District.
Right.
How does this affect all of these kids?
And the answer right now is that—
We don't know.
We don't know, and apparently
we
don't care.
We don't care, yeah.
Apparently don't care.
New schools, old books.
We're going to switch it up and give a shout out to something that's going on. This has been a staple in the community for the past couple years. The Dunbar Summer Rec League.
For decades.
Decades.
Yeah, I remember going to see Corliss play in the Dunbar League.
Right, right. And now just a shout out to the Dunbar League. And this is something that's put on by the city. So this is part of Little Rock Parks and Recreation Department. They put this on. It's a free event. They play Monday through Thursday. This is for you who don't know, the Dunbar Summer League is a adult basketball league.
Semi-pro, right?
Semi-pro with a lot of NBA players, players who play overseas, and a lot of players who played in college basketball. and some of our most famous Little Rock basketball players play in this league. So Bobby Portis plays in the league.
We saw Bobby Portis play last week.
We saw Blake and I went to the game and checked it out. Joe Johnson plays in this league.
I think Joe has a lot of Little Rock Central greats on his team. I had to throw that up. Tiger Pride. But I do know Jalen Barford is playing on his team this year. I think Anton Beard is playing on Bobby Portis' team. Another one of our friends, Gabe Moore, Mr. Mills is playing on Joe's team. D Train always has a good team. It's competitive. Arkansas Baptist Junior College team has a complete team in the summer league. So they're out there getting buckets, man.
Well, so go out there and support. Like we said, it's free to the public. The games are 40-minute games, running clock, so they play three games every night.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No Friday this year. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6, 7, 8 o'clock.
Right, and just for y'all who listening this week, you can go, if you want to see the Stars, you can go on Thursday night and see your guy Bobby Portis of the Chicago Bulls. He plays Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And then Joe Johnson of the Houston Rockets plays Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
Against the North Little Rock Stars.
Right.
Yeah, that may be a repeat of the 99 state championship.
I'm not going to let you. 40. I'm not going to let you just
be. We beat them by 40.
Okay. We about to go to our guests because it's too much Central pride going on and I just ain't going to stand
What up,
it.
Joe?
But also, they play on Monday night. You can check it out. Go to our social media feed, Rock the Culture IG, Rock the Culture Twitter, Rock the Culture Facebook, and we'll post that schedule so you can see the schedule of everyone who's playing in the community league this summer. So check them out, and we're gonna leave it there with this week's news. There was a lot going on this week. Three-term Blake. We're gonna save some of our news for next week and get right into our guest, special guest this week. Not only special because she works at an organization that's near and dear to my heart that I was a board member of, but we were texting. And she asked me, she said, am I going to be the first white person on the show? And I said, yes, you are. She said, how will they know? I said, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to let them know. So shout out to Chrissy. And I'll allow you to say what up to the people and explain what your role is.
Hello. Thank you for having me. More of what I was asking is, how will people know that I'm relevant to your audience?
Oh, I thought you just, no, my bad.
I'm pretty sure as soon as the first word comes out of my mouth, people will know. I am CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters, and Antoine, you've been fantastic on our board, and I'm dying to get you back. So whatever I can do to make that happen, I think we have a little bit of a timeline there, but we'll make
it.
Is that
why you brought donuts today?
Maybe. I like to get on people's good side. The first time you show up at someone's house, you know, you bring a little something, right. A bottle of wine, some cookies.
Right.
You guys got donuts.
Well, we appreciate it. So. We appreciate it. And my apology, I thought you were just talking about, you know, what people know. People know how important the program is, but in case they don't know, another Jay-Z quote. I think this may be a record Jay-Z quotes. Maybe I got a lot of Jay-Z in me this weekend because of the new album. But on Blueprint 3, on Reminder, he said, they think I'm out of shape, so I need to jog their memory. So and when you talk about the relevance of this program, which has been around a long time,
yes,
I want to take this opportunity. I want to jog people's memory about how important Big Brothers Big Sister is to our youth and our community. So if you can just tell us, in general, what's the framework, what's the purpose of Big Brothers Big Sister? What is it aiming to do?
One of the things that I love hearing you say on the podcast often is that children can't be what they can't see.
Right.
We believe that at Big Brothers Big Sisters. That's what we do, is we show kids what they can't see. And we do that through mentoring. So we have Big Brothers Big Sisters who are paired up with little brothers and little sisters to do mentoring. So we get a lot of people who say, well, what would I do with a kid? And you know, what would you do in your free time? Would you go play basketball? Would you go watch some movies? Would you play video games at your house? Would you go hiking? You know, what are the things that you do? And that's what we pair a kid with you that you can do also.
And one thing I remember from being on the board and want you to share this with our culture cohorts is what makes Big Brothers Big Sisters different from a lot of organizations is that it is only one-on-one mentoring.
Yes, absolutely. We do a lot of background check on the bigs and the littles, and so everybody's not right for our program, which is okay. We try to refer to other programs that offer mentoring, but yes, we do that one-to-one mentoring. So you have that direct line, that direct relationship to make a change and to actually show you something that you wouldn't have an opportunity to see otherwise.
And I think with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, I think in the traditional sense, people have an idea like, what do I do with my little? And we're going to talk about that in a second. But explain to the people the two different programs that are available and how the mentorship works in those different programs.
Yeah, so we have the two programs, site-based and community-based. In the site-based program, you would go visit your little once a week during the school year, and you might go and visit your little at his or her elementary school, or you might go, we partner with Boys and Girls Clubs, so if your little is a member at a Boys and Girls Club, you would go once a week and hang out with them for an hour. We're talking about during the school year, 9 months, once a week, that's 46 hours, no, 36 in the site-based program. So 36 hours in 1 year for that program is all you're investing.
And you partner with various schools throughout Central Arkansas.
We do. Okay. We do. The community-based is probably more of what you think of the traditional mentoring partnership that we have. And so that's where you would have your little that you go pick him or her up from their house and take them out and do something with them and hang out with them for a couple of hours. We ask for 2 hours twice a month. So that's a total of 48 hours you're investing in this child. That's 2 days. In 2 days, you can make a difference in a child's life.
And let's talk about the difference, because in this one thing that I wanted to mention when we were joking about you being our first white guest is that I don't want anyone to think that our show is just or only about black people. Mm-hmm. It's about the culture in general, and you can be any race, creed, nationalities, sexual orientation, gender, and have an impact on the culture as in Central Arkansas. And you're talking about the difference that the bigs, the mentors, make with the littles. Share with us, I mean, has that been quantified? Do we have data that says if you have a little, I mean, if you have a big mentor, you're more likely to graduate, go to college, do whatever?
We do. I didn't bring those specific numbers. I brought more of the demographics of our programs. But we do have the kids who have mentors, that, and specifically the one-to-one mentors, are more likely to graduate. They're more likely to have leadership positions when they go on and graduate. The Big Brothers Big Sisters of America website has a lot of the specific statistics.
Right.
I don't necessarily like those statistics because they're negative. They'll say the number or percentage of kids that go through this program won't do drugs. They won't do alcohol. They won't be violent.
I have the negative connotation.
Yeah,
okay.
I like to focus on what they will do and how this program helps. So we have a significant impact on kids improving their reading, on graduating from high school, on going to college, on getting jobs, and then also having healthy relationships themselves.
Right. I understand that. So you said you did bring some numbers about the demographics. So who are the littles gender, racially, and who are the bigs gender and racially?
So a gross generalization is that we have a lot of little brothers in the program. They're African-American little brothers, and we have a lot of big sisters who tend to be Caucasian. Specifically, right now, we've got 50% of our littles are in Little Rock. 69% of those littles are black. We've got 7% white, 5% multi-race, and 15% other. And then for our bigs, we've got 55% white and 34% black. So we've got kind of that disconnect there in who our bigs are and who our littles are. And I've talked to some of our program staff, and they said one of the struggles that littles have, specifically the African-American littles, is when somebody comes to visit them in a school. And if you're an African-American little boy and you've got a Caucasian big brother coming in and you're telling your friends, oh, this is my big brother, there's a little bit of difficulty in that little becoming comfortable with having that big around. So that relationship takes longer. We also recognize that a Caucasian big can't teach everything an African American big can teach.
And yeah, so, the experiences are different.
Absolutely, and there's no way that you can make up for that, or right. even have answers sometimes when the littles have answers.
So right,
those and, are very real struggles.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted you as a guest on the pod is to talk about and to acknowledge and even, you know, so go so far as to call it a call to action for people who are looking for ways to be involved, looking for ways to impact the community, impact the culture. And here's an opportunity
yes.
to volunteer. I mean, what the I remember last time I was on the board, there was a disconnect on the number of littles waiting for bigs.
Yeah.
Is there still a disconnect there? Are there still more littles than bigs?
Well, yeah, there generally are still more littles than bigs. We need big brothers, big sisters all the time.
Right.
And that's probably always going to be the case. And that's why I tell people all the time, there are so many organizations that help kids, and there aren't enough organizations to help kids. So we need the grown-ups to start raising their hands and start stepping up and start volunteering and giving back. And, you know, this is one solution to some of the struggles that the kids are having.
Right. And I know, and I want to get to the call to action, but I know recently there was a relationship form with KRK, Mentoring Matters, and mm-hmm. that Big Brothers Big Sisters has partnered not only with KRK, but with the city, working on a relationship with the police. Kind of talk about those different connections that the organization has to kind of spread the word.
Yeah, we are absolutely open, happy to, and willing and interested in partnering with anybody else who wants to partner with us. We have Bigs in Blue that we do have a signed MOU with the Little Rock Police Department and Pulaski County Sheriff's Office to get men and women in uniform into the schools to build that bridge between the community they're working in and the bigs that they could be and change that impact. But also through television, website, anything we can do, any way that we can partner and say, we have this opportunity, we have this solution, help us fulfill the solution.
So how do people help? People listen to this pod and they say, you know what, I do want to be a mentor.
Yeah.
I want to have a little brother. I want to have a little sister. How do they do that? Where do they go? Who do they call?
They go to our website, bbbsca.org. Or just look at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Arkansas. That's a lot of letters. It's a lot of beans.
Right, right.
And you can sign up and or just call our office and find out how you can get involved and how you can get that application. We do background checks on all of our bigs, so be prepared for that. We're going to do multi-level to make sure kids are safe. But like I said, we also do checks on the kids to make sure that the parents are going to be involved. So you're not going to get stuck with a bad kid. These aren't, you know, the kids in our program aren't, there's nothing wrong with them. They just need that extra person. They need that stability.
And I remember one thing that came up during my tenure that we used to talk about from time to time is that this is not a babysitting organization.
No.
This is not an opportunity for you to go just watch somebody's kid while
no.
they go to the club.
Right. And we do, that's part of what we do with the interview with the parents is to make sure that this program is not used for that purpose.
Right. So, and I understand that the makeup of the program, I understand how people get involved. What's one thing that you, what's a takeaway for you if people listening, one thing you want to make sure they know about the program and how important it is to you or to the community?
Yeah. I want you to know that it does not take a lot of time. It does not take a lot of money. And you do not have to be a perfect person. Often your best mentors are the ones who've been through difficult times and have come through them, and we need those voices.
So this is not a program. You don't have to be a lawyer, a doctor, or a state representative.
No.
Wherever you are in life, if you care about kids, if you have, you're willing to dedicate some time, and
yes.
you got a clean black background check now.
Yes.
You can be a great person, but you didn't. Did some stuff, then we can't, this is not for you.
Well, even if you've done some stuff, but it's been a long time ago, and you've been an outstanding
okay.
person and citizen, maybe you've been
rehabilitated?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
okay.
And like I said, those are the best stories, and those are the mentors that can step forward and say to these young men and young women, don't go down this road. I've been there. That's not what you want to do. Here's what happened to me. Let's talk about it. Let's get through it. So, yeah, you're going to have fun with your little, but you're going to have those relationship moments, too, that you have the very real opportunity to help a young person decide which road they're going to travel.
Well, Chrissy, I appreciate you being a guest on the pod today and helping us rock the culture. And I know you've been dedicated to Big Brothers Big Sisters. I've seen you in work, so I know you're working hard. So I thank you for being with us. We thank the listeners for tuning in and signing up. If you know someone, if you want to be involved, please reach out to Big Brothers Big Sister on their website, or they can follow you on social media too, right?
We do. We have a Facebook page and we have Instagram. We're not so good on the Instagram, but definitely Facebook.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
You forgetting about Twitter.
I have a social media millennial working in my
team. That's not really what you do?
No.
So follow them on our social media to learn more about the program. And we're going to be back with you guys next week, next Monday. Another special guest. We're bringing in Rodney Block, who's been a staple in the live music scene in Little Rock for years now. Talk about his story and his music career. Please check us out on our social media feed this week. We're going to update you on things that's happening with the city. We're going to update you on news that's going on. And definitely another big shout out to our guy Q-Note and Philly Moo. Go pick up that 90s type-ish on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, wherever you download music. Listen to them, support them, support the culture. And until next week, I need a tagline. I keep wanting to end the show, and I need to work on a tagline. You got any taglines for me, Chrissy?
I shared my tagline with you before. We need people to stop pointing fingers and start raising hands.
Stop pointing fingers and start raising hands.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to need y'all to stop pointing fingers and start raising hands. We'll talk to y'all next week. Thank y'all.